Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we'll read a verse here as we look further into the scriptures today. John 16 and verse 33, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, this is the last verse of a pretty long conversation that the Lord Jesus has had with his disciples. They've been together for hours on this particular evening, and John's gospel is the only gospel that records all of these conversations, all the details that the Lord Jesus says to them. He says here in verse 33 that we read, "These things I have spoken to you," and he's been speaking to them since chapter 13. He is only with the 11. Judas, the betrayer, has left the group, and for a time they were together in that upper room when the Lord Jesus instituted the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, which would become a remembrance of him. And then he speaks about them having faith in God and faith in him in chapter 14, and about the coming of the Holy Spirit in chapter 14, and about abiding in him in chapter 15. By chapter 15, they're walking on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he continues speaking to them in chapter 15 and chapter 16. And now at the end of the chapter, he says that they're going to be scattered in verse 32. They're going to abandon him. Then he says that even though there will be tribulation, they are able to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. And even though he's speaking to the disciples about a specific experience they're going to have, this verse has encouraged believers for many generations. We do have troubles in the world. We do have very intense tribulations and difficulties in the world. But the Lord Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In some past messages, we've been able to look at some things that are unshakable, and we're going to add this to the list. The fact that there is a certainty of overcoming. The Lord Jesus himself says, "I have overcome the world." He promises his disciples that they are going to have trouble. That doesn't sound maybe necessarily like a great way to encourage someone. You are saying goodbye to them, and you're saying, well, I'm going to leave now, and tomorrow is going to be a very difficult day for you. That doesn't sound like the most encouraging thing that someone might say. But, of course, the Lord Jesus doesn't just stop there. He says, tomorrow is going to be a very difficult day for you, but I have overcome the world. So there's a future expectation of trouble, but there is a past declaration of confidence that the Lord has already overcome the world. And so I'd like to speak about this idea of overcoming. One of these unshakable things, the Lord's declaration that he has overcome the world, and it leads into the characteristic of his people as also overcomers. John the Apostle, who was listening to this conversation, he took very good notes, we might say, in this conversation. He writes in his own letters and in the book of Revelation about a number of the things which the Lord Jesus mentioned here in this conversation in his gospel, the Gospel of John. The idea of being an overcomer is mentioned many times in 1 John and in the book of Revelation, and we'll take a little bit of time to look at some of those things, but it is good to maybe ask the question, are we survivors or are we overcomers? Of course, it's good to be a survivor. A survivor has passed through some really difficult times, but a survivor hasn't disappeared after the troubles that he or she has faced. But an overcomer, that's something much more triumphant. A survivor still exists, but an overcomer has achieved a victory. An overcomer has strength. An overcomer still persists and pursues in the triumph that has been achieved. And so it's a good question for us. In times of trouble, are we just sort of trying to make it through to the end? Or are we overcoming? Are we just hoping to hold on by our fingernails? It's so wonderful to read the Christian message in the scriptures and to realize that we can be overcomers. There's an element of strength and triumph. And joy that is related to being an overcomer. So let's turn to the book of Revelation. Just want to look at a verse there in Revelation 12, and then we'll look at a couple other passages. Revelation 12 describes some of these overcomers. It's a future time. It's a time of great trouble for believers. As we understand it, Revelation 12 is taking place in a time the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, the great moment of tribulation, a seven-year period when there is great trouble coming upon the earth. It's not a time which is specifically about the church, but it refers to believers who are still on the earth after the church has been taken to heaven. The devil himself is cast to the earth from heaven in Revelation 12 and verse 9. He's cast to the earth out of the presence of God. He was accusing the followers of God in the presence of God himself, verse 10. He's the accuser of the brethren, those who are believers. And it says in verse 11, Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. As mentioned, this is a particular group of God's followers in this particular time in the earth's history. It's really the earth's future history. It hasn't taken place yet. But we have some principles here which can encourage believers of all generations. We can see what it is that allows God's people to overcome. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. What does that have to do with us? Nothing. The Lord Jesus overcame the world. He conquered the strong man. In the parable he told in Luke's gospel, it says there that he overcame the one who was strong. He tied him up and he spoiled his goods and he left the house with the trophies, the ill-gotten gains of this powerful one. The Lord Jesus, by his death, has overcome the enemy. And so that's how the Lord's people overcome the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony about what? The testimony that they have about their faith in the Lord himself. Their faith in God is what comprises their testimony. It's not the word of their best efforts. It's not that they overcame the devil by the history of philanthropic acts or some other personal goodness that they were trying to achieve. It's the word of their testimony. It's the anchor of their faith in the God in whom they trusted. And then it says that they did not love their lives to the death. How could anyone say that they would just relinquish their existence to an enemy? It's because they knew of a greater purpose. And here are God's people. They loved the source of life to a greater extent than they loved themselves. They overcame the one who persecuted them by displaying their complete and confident faith in the God in whom they trusted. Now, the book of Revelation is full of this idea of overcoming. When John has this vision of the glorified Jesus in chapter 1, he is told that he's going to write a message, and his message is going to include not only the things that he saw in chapter 1, but also the things that exist, the things that are, the present time period, and also the things that are to come. And so John in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he is given messages to those who are existing churches, those who are representing the church age on this earth. And every one of them is invited to respond as overcomers. And then in Revelation 21, there is a reference, we'll just turn there for a moment, Revelation 21, in what we might say chronologically is the last scene of the scriptures. It's this future time where the new heavens and the new earth are prepared, what has been called the eternal state. And as God speaks to John and says in verse 5, Revelation 21, verse 5, he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he says in verse 6, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega." And then he says in verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And so in chapter 2, when those who are interested in being faithful followers of the Lord, those who have that desire, they're able to do so by being overcomers. And then look at all the tribulation that takes place. In Revelation chapter 6 begins the real description of the troubles. And now all the way to this point, there has been trouble and trial. But that scene ends with this verse, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God." There is the certainty that someone who was an overcomer can continue to be an overcomer from beginning to end of this book of Revelation through all the trials. And we would make that application then for ourselves. We perhaps have been overcomers in the past, but we can continue to be overcomers. We can continue to be faithful to the Lord through all that we are experiencing. Now, we can also turn to the letter of 1 John and see a few other comments about being overcomers. Just a couple of selected verses. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. He writes to young men, the end of that verse, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." And then again in verse 14 in the middle, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Then turn to chapter 4, 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 1, the end of that verse, "Many false prophets have gone out into the world." But speaking of those false prophets, he says in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And then in chapter 5, there's another reference to this, chapter 5 and verse 4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" This last reference here, verses 4 and 5, it has our word overcoming, and it also has the word victory. Victory is the noun of the verb overcoming, as it's written in the Greek language of the New Testament. In fact, this word victory as a noun, it's the word Nike. In English, we say Nike. It's the word that was used by the well-known sneaker company, their footwear, taken from that word, victory. For the Christian, we can recognize that victory is what God intends for us. And here are these three different enemies in the passages that we've read about. We read about overcoming the devil and those who are classified as young men, the ones with energy, those with a little maturity along the way. We should be in that category. Then there are also those who are the aged ones, the fathers of the faith. And it doesn't mean that they don't have to overcome anymore. It means that they also have the wisdom of relationship, the relationship with knowing the Father. But every believer should be in that category of overcoming. And how do we overcome the devil? They overcame the devil because they were strong and the word of God abides in them. Chapter 4, we overcome false prophets. And here, little children, chapter 4, verse 4, refers to every believer, not in terms of their maturity of faith, but every believer is a child of God in this capacity. And it says here, "You are of God and have overcome them," those false prophets, those spirits of Antichrist, the spirits of those who teach against the truth of Christ. It says, "We have overcome them because of the one who is in us. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world," the one who is behind these false prophets and the testimony of Antichrist messages. And then in chapter 5, we overcome the world by our faith. And again, we see that these resources for being overcomers have nothing to do with us personally. They are rooted in God himself. They are rooted in eternal things, divine things. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God, the one who is dwelling in us. And we have our faith. Not faith that rests in ourselves, but faith that rests in the great anchor of faith, the source of faith, faith that rests in God himself. And so we're able to have confidence that in times of trouble, we can overcome. Are we content to just sort of survive, or are we going to be overcomers? Are we going to persist? Are we going to show the strength of faith? Are we going to overcome with the Word of God? Are we going to be growing in our understanding of how that Word will empower us in the situations that we are facing? Are we going to overcome the words of falsehood that will teach us to look for resources elsewhere? The spirit of Antichrist would distract our eyes from faith in Christ himself. And we have the Spirit of God who can help us to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, as it says in verse 6, 1 John 4, verse 6. Are we going to allow the world to overcome us, or are we going to overcome the world by our faith? Are we going to display acts of faith? Are we going to show active faith in our trials and troubles? The Lord Jesus promised that there would be tribulation. He has overcome the world, and now the application is we should be overcomers. Now, there's a couple other references that I think we can benefit from about overcoming in the book of Romans. We'll turn there for a couple more verses on this subject. The book of Romans, first of all, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This section of the book of Romans begins to teach believers how to live like believers. We have been taught some tremendous theology in the first 8 chapters, and then chapters 9, 10, and 11 showed some of the understanding of how that theology relates also to the relationship between the church and Gentiles and the people of Israel, what God intends for them as a nation. But chapter 12 begins by telling believers another part of theology. This is still doctrine, this is still teaching, but it is the application of the great spiritual facts that have been presented in the first 11 chapters. And so chapter 12 begins to speak about this. And it says here in verse 20, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." This is a quote from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. And the application or the principle that's taken from this comes to us, verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, there are warnings against believers being overcome by these other influences and by these spiritual enemies that we face. And here, we are told about not being overcome by evil. And how would that happen? Well, in verse 17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath." Don't allow wrath to overcome us. Give place to wrath. Put it somewhere else. "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And so that's how we would be overcome by evil, if we did repay evil for evil, if we are mistreated and we mistreat others, if we are distracted from what is good, if we don't use spiritual discernment to determine what is good and what is evil. But what we are told here in verse 21 is overcome evil with good. There are people who do evil. They're called enemies in verse 20. The Christian should not be looking at individual people as our enemies. We recognize that there are people who have put themselves in that category. Talks in other parts of the New Testament about praying for our enemies. So somehow we understand who those people are. And yet it says, do not be overcome by the evil that is done against us. Overcome evil with good. We can overcome in this way. We can be overcomers by doing good. In every time of trouble, there is also opportunity. In every conflict, there are new opportunities for a display of God's goodness through the believer. In fact, it's what brings it out. We only are proven to be overcomers when there's something to overcome. If we are overcomers, it means there's trouble. And we don't want to be just survivors in trouble, as we said, but we want to be overcomers in trouble. Overcome evil with good. We don't want to let evil shake us from our path of faithfulness and our path of doing good. The Christian should be known for doing good, even in the face of literal evil that would desire to overcome us. And then finally, one more verse in Romans 8 to add to this subject. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. It says here, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Verse 37, "In all these things, all that was just listed, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this phrase, more than conquerors, is also related to our word about being overcomers. We are more than overcomers. And really, it's the same word about overcoming, except with the prefix hyper added onto it. And just think about all the ways we use the word hyper, hyperactivity and hyperextended, things that go beyond what is typical. And we can be hyper overcomers through him who loved us. The love of God and its constancy, the love that we know through Christ, the divine love towards us is persistent. Will God condemn us? He has justified us. Christ has died. He loves us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 31. And therefore, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers. I heard a brother recently share a really beautiful example of this, and it's just a good picture for us to carry along with us. You could imagine a boat that is in the wind on the sea, and the boat by itself is completely directionless. The winds and the currents prevail. It has no power on its own. It's just a hunk of wood, a hunk of metal. It looks like a boat, but it's just floating there and completely at the mercy of the winds and the waves and the currents. There's no overcoming happening there. And then let's give that boat a rudder. And if we give that boat a rudder, now it can direct its way. It can choose its direction. It doesn't have to be directionless. But now let's give that boat a sail as well. And now the boat that was previously tossed by the winds, now that very same wind becomes the means by which the boat reaches its destination. That boat is more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror. That boat is using the very same tribulations in order to reach the destination of glorifying God. And we can see that even if we are facing death itself, that we can be faithful all the way to the end of our existence. Those who did not love their lives even unto death in Revelation 12. There was a faithful testimony. Most of the times in our lives, we are not anywhere close to facing such a trial. There may come a time where we face such a trial and actually have to endure it. But think of all the trials along the way, some tremendous in their impact upon us, some smaller. But every trial gives us an opportunity to be an overcomer. Through the Word of God, through the power of God indwelling us through His Spirit, through faith in God, through the blood of the Lamb, the proof of God's love for us, we are able to be more than overcomers, more than conquerors. This is an unshakable truth that we can rest upon. God has done the work. Christ has overcome the world, and in the world, we can live out His character and be overcomers as well.